Welcome back, church family, to this episode of the Deeper Podcast, where we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17, and seeing how godly compassion sees a situation and moves towards the hurting. And we have a couple of incredible guests today with us. We have Brian, who's going to be preaching this weekend.
Very incredible.
Yes. Brian, we're excited to hear your message this weekend. Glad you're here. And then Amy, welcome back.
Thanks.
So I've been out the last couple weeks, and Liam took over as the host and did an incredible job. I wouldn't tell him that to his face, but I'll tell him on the podcast. And then
we'll see if he actually listens.
We'll see. We'll see if he does. He only listens when he's on it, you know. But when I was gone, we announced that Amy is going to be our new community groups director starting April 1st. So I was bummed I wasn't able to make that announcement, but I'm glad it was able to be shared. But Amy, we are so excited to have you on the team. Just how you have led in ministry with students, with young adults, and I think just taking all those giftings and skills and everything is just going to be a huge blessing to our ministry, to our team. We can't wait to have you.
I'm excited. It's not April 1st yet, but I
know.
Be like, come on, let's get here.
Isn't April 1st April Fool's Day or something like that?
Yeah, we'll see. The other thing is right now it's Thursday at 11:15, and right now the NCAA tournament has started.
That's right.
It's begun. Brian, who do you have as your national champion?
Not Texas.
Yeah, I have them losing the first round.
I do too. Part of that is emotional hedging, as Doug tells
me. That's right.
I hate my pick. I went UConn. I just feel like that's the easy thing.
It is the easy thing. Yeah. Amy, did you choose?
It's been really busy last few days, and I didn't get my bracket done.
Oh, no.
And it's too late. But you know what?
Yeah.
I'm just giving
would you?
How far would you push K-State going?
Well, you know, they did so well in the NIT.
I just hope a Kansas team gets a win in any tournament.
Hey, I am so excited about K-State, the women.
Yes, yes. I think they're going to do okay.
We can do this.
Yeah, they've got a good team.
Their region is stacked.
Yeah. It is. Also, I am not a... Keelan Smith, don't listen to this. I'm not the biggest fan of women's sports.
Oh.
But... I actually have been following our K-State gals.
Yeah.
And I was like, I normally don't follow women's sports.
I've enjoyed watching some of the women's basketball games this year. Caitlin Clark is legit.
No.
She's super fun to watch.
It has been fun to watch.
And I have her eliminating Kansas State, and I think it's the third round.
I saw that. I know. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
So, tough setup for K-State.
You know, I don't know that I'd have KU going very far.
No. In the men's or the women's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which always makes my heart feel good inside.
Honestly, what I would love to see is, number one, I want to see A&M lose in the first round.
Oh, I'd like that.
And I want to see Purdue lose to a 16 seed again.
Again?
I think that would just be the greatest story of the tournament.
And then Kentucky and Duke have to lose as well.
Do you guys have San Diego State going far?
Not far. I haven't winning one game.
Yeah. For sure one. I can't remember about this
one. Let's bring on another year of the underdogs is what I love.
That'd be fun. I root against my bracket.
Yeah.
I love chaos.
I do too.
Just complete chaos.
I know I'm not going to win anyway, especially if you forget to turn it in and you won. But
that does make it harder.
Yeah. But I am. I'm excited for some just good underdog wins is what I want.
Cool.
And if there's a year of basketball where we can see that again, messiness, it might be this year.
True. Well, since this is not a sports podcast, we're going to move on to our stuff for today. We've got one announcement, and you're going to be hearing about this quite a bit coming up. It's ShareFest. So I know it started in 2006, right? Mm-hmm. 2006. So this is our 18th, 19th year?
I think there was one in there we didn't do with COVID.
Yeah, hopefully we didn't do it. Yeah, so 18th year, something like that. It's been going on a long time, and I think we have 20-some churches currently that are going to be a part of it. We're looking to have 800 to 900 volunteers, and we have been able to just cultivate some really cool relationships with other churches, but the school districts as well. I mean, our relationships with the school districts have never been better. We're going to be at Topeka Public Schools up north in the Seaman School District, and then with Washburn Rural, we have a family site at Wanamaker, and then we're also going to be at Pauline South in Montara. So if you're part of a community group or just part of the fellowship family, make sure you go online to sharefesttopeka.com and register to be part of ShareFest. We need about 400 people from fellowship alone, and then about 800 or 900 people total. So that day is coming up April 27th, 8 to noon. You serve at different sites and paint and rake and all kinds of different things. It's going to be a really fun day. So you're going to be hearing more about it.
Great way to deepen relationships and community.
I know.
It's such a great opportunity when you're serving shoulder to shoulder. What a great opportunity.
It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it every single year. Well, let's look at the passage now. So, Brian, mm-hmm. can you give us just a little, a short synopsis of the story, the mm-hmm. passage, and even the context that we find this passage in?
Yeah, so it's in Luke chapter 7, and Luke is telling the story of Jesus, and he does one miracle, and then he moves to a place and is doing another one. And what I thought was interesting about this passage, I kind of did a double take when I got the assignment.
Yeah.
It's just not a story we talk about a lot.
I know.
It happens in a town called Nain, which, I mean, I've never even really heard of before other than reading this story. But Jesus brings his little entourage and goes into this town and meets up with a funeral procession that's going, and then proceeds to do what only the Son of God can do and raises the dead and give this widow back her son. And we talk about the implications of what this story means for who Jesus is and what it can teach us about what he does.
Yeah, so you lay out in this who Jesus is, and you talk about how Jesus is God, mm-hmm. how Jesus is compassionate, and Jesus has power over death. So as you prepared the message, and Amy and I, as we heard this, what is it that you needed to hear about who Jesus is from this story?
And it's going to sound a little simplistic. But it's just a reminder that he's God. He's not our life coach. He's not here to make our life better. He is not just simply our guide for how to make good decisions. Like, he has power over the dead, and because of who he is, like, he is worthy of being believed. He's worthy of being trusted. And it's not just the power, it's the compassion side. Like, he is everything that we need. And just the reminder of who he is what's really stood out to me this week.
Yeah, great. Amy, what about you?
Yeah, I am just over a year removed from navigating, going, walking through losing my father, mm-hmm. funeral, all of that stuff. And it's like, just, he does have the power over death. And like, how incredible that we have hope and we know, like, yeah, God did not choose to extend my father's temporal time here on earth, but man, he's not disappointed. He is truly experiencing like the life that we all long for, like mm-hmm. without sin and just getting to be in perfect relation with God and just doing everything to a capacity he was not being able to. And so it is crazy to like, be almost jealous and excited, like what mm-hmm. my father is experiencing now in the presence of God. I'm like, wow, like that is true power over death. And ultimately, like, we all long to that day when we are not dealing with any of this broken world or broken mm-hmm. selves. And like, I'm like, man, God is big. And like, the fact that he loves us enough that is his ultimate goal, is just to give us life to the mm-hmm. fullest. Like, that gets me excited.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. I think for me, it's the Jesus is compassionate and moves towards us. I love mm-hmm. how that's active. So I think I recognize that Jesus is compassionate, but that intentionality of Jesus moving towards us is what stood out to me mm-hmm. in the sense of, you know, I don't need to do a bunch of things to then be able to experience Jesus' compassion. I can just receive and believe who he is, and he's going to be the one that's initiating that. So that's something that just stood out and resonated with me through the message and through the passage this week. Okay, so here's the second question that I want us to wrestle with. And then just as a reminder, you know, for those of you that are listening to this podcast, whether you're in your community group or, you know, with your spouse or whatever, make sure you take time to ask these questions with the people that are around you. That's really why we're doing this. We're giving some responses and feedback to the message so that it spurs on a deeper conversation with you and the people that you're around and navigating this passage with. So here's their second question. Where do you need to receive Jesus's compassion coming towards you? So the next questions are going to be one, how do we need to receive? And then how do we need to respond? So this first one is, how do we receive that? And it could be now, or even it could be, you know, things from the past, giving kind of an example of what that has looked like in your life.
I think I love being on the opposite side of compassion. I love being the person who's giving and showing up and being there. And this past year was a year of having to be a recipient, which was really hard for me.
Yeah.
And I am not a person who is quick to ask for help. And even the month before my, earlier in the month before my father passed away, my car completely died, the engine gone. And I just was overwhelmed by the things that I normally would go to my dad for wisdom as like, hey, can you help me with financial or car or whatever? It was like, he wasn't there. But yet we were currently teaching on the Psalms 23 and how God is our shepherd. And like in that, like I've always said, my dad's my protector and he's my provider. And it was just the sweetness of God leaning in and being like, no, actually, your dad was a good dad. But I am ultimately your protector and provider, and I am your ultimate father. Like, there is no flaws with me. And I just have seen in this year how many times he stepped in as my protector and my provider, but then just also his love. Like, I walked away from January 2023 being like, man, I am so dearly loved and overwhelmed by just his love and care and compassion for me, which has been so sweet. And it has been really just a sweet navigating forward, like reading through the Bible and I'm reading through Leviticus and things like that. And just seeing God's care and his love for his people when you normally don't, when you're reading through these kind of weird laws and stuff, I'm like, I just, scripture looks different. Like reading through the Psalms, I just, God, I just feel his compassion and love in such a deeper way from what life was like this past year.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I I really struggle to answer this question. I don't want to pretend that I've lived like a charmed life, but I just, I haven't had to navigate a lot of loss in life. I have no brothers and sisters. There's not a ton of extended family, and I have lost a grandparents, but they were pretty removed anyway. And so I don't have just a ton of when I had a deep emotional need, but the story that comes to my mind is, I've been stuck in the workplace and stuck in relationships inside and outside of this place. And, I remember one particular time when I had a very dear friend, it's Greg Pruitt, and he could tell, even that no one else could, that I was stuck. And instead of just telling me to get over it, like, he was able to come and give me some very good advice about what I needed to do to get unstuck. And I pushed away from him. I didn't want to do it, but eventually I gave in and did it. And it was so helpful. And it ended up being so much easier than I thought it would. Mm-hmm. But I needed someone to have compassion on me where I was at. And I had to be willing on some level to accept it. And that was difficult, being the one in need.
Mm. It is difficult being the one in need. I think that's a theme that you guys shared. And I would say definitely the same in my life too. I think in this season right now, where I need to receive Jesus' compassion, is just accepting just kind of the capacity that we're at as a family right now. So we've got two children, and previously we dealt with infertility, and so we wanted to adopt and everything, and we're like, okay, God, we're so thankful that you provided. And now it's just a lot right now. And so between having two kids, and Judah's got just some extra things we're having to give some extra energy and attention to. And so it's being okay that right now we decided we're going to put a pause on when we're going to make our book and profile live for our third adoption. And I think there can be some guilt in that of like, well, God, for so long, like we've been asking for kids and now we have an opportunity to be able to open up our home for a third, being able to receive Jesus' compassion to say like, you know, you don't have the capacity right now to do that and to really love the two that I've entrusted you with right now. So receiving just that compassion and being like, no, it's okay. Like we're not the savior. We're not the one that God doesn't need us to help provide homes for other kids, and just trust that God's going to work in this season, and then there may come another season when God says, okay, like you have the capacity and the margin to be able to be entrusted with another child. So emotionally, that's hard, but to trust that God's going to be in control of the timing like he has up to this point in our family's life.
This is like live. We're recording this in real time, and I want to take some time to affirm you in that. And that has been something that I have been wondering in your life of just as I hear what's going on, and we haven't talked about your third in a while. And so I didn't know exactly where you were at with that, but I've been thinking about what does it look like for you guys to pause and get through a season and to hear you wrestle with that and talk about that. Like I can affirm that I think that's wise and I think it's courageous. And so I applaud that.
Thanks. Yeah. So last week when I was off, spent a whole week at home, and Paige and I just gave us some good time to see the realities of our family, and then also just to take time to pray and to process and everything. And so we don't feel peace about stopping, but we feel peace about pausing.
That's okay.
But on the flip side, I haven't shared this with you guys, so this is real time. But God has blessed us with some incredible grants to be able to fund our adoption. Adoption is about $30,000, and we've raised $25,000.
That's amazing.
And so the final $5,000, it's part of a matching grant. And so, you know, when we're ready to get there, we need to raise $5,000. So we're like, okay, God, like, You've provided resources, but we also don't feel like we're supposed to do this now. So this is just where we're at. But this is just, it's a part of a journey and a process, right? You know, like we're all just trying to be faithful and obedient to what God is calling us to right now.
Learning how to trust.
That's right. That's right. Okay, here's question number three. Who in your life do you need to respond with compassion and go towards them? So in the same way that we're called to receive Jesus' compassion towards us, and we're supposed to then model what that compassion looks like to others. So what does that look like in your guys' life?
So I'm not going to share individuals, but I'm going to kind of share a overarching theme for me. And one of the stories that I do share in the message is when I didn't know what to say to someone. And that is something that I still struggle with. I still struggle with getting over the awkwardness of going towards someone when I don't know how to answer the question, or when I don't know the perfect words to say in this situation. And so for me, it is the obedience to move towards someone even when I don't know what to say. And allowing presence, allowing physical contact, allowing you know, even the way you look at someone to communicate that you care about them. When you don't know what to say about a diagnosis, you don't know what to say about a broken relationship, or you don't know what to say about a loss. For me, will I continue to go towards even when I feel inadequate in my ability to care?
I just was about 4 weeks ago, about a month ago, I did a 24-hour retreat actually with your brother, Ryan, and then Greg Pruitt. We put this on for local student pastors and their wives. And one of the sweetest things out of that is really just talking about what is the core of any good relationship, us with God and then with others, is really presence. So as you were saying, that dialogue and then just hospitality, like having a space even for that relationship. And I was really challenged out of that. We're a year removed from everything that has gone with Dad, and life has been busy and doing student ministry and young adults. Like, and honestly, for most of my adult life, because teaching and doing ministry or whatever, life just has not had the capacity for me to love my family well. Like, I will watch nieces and nephews and I will do these things. But one of the things is I feel like God is, even with this new role, it is creating more margin for me.
Yeah, you keep thinking that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Well, I'll have a talk with my new boss. But there, I mean, there's not something every night of the week.
Yeah.
And there's not, there's just a level where there is more space. And my heart, like I still have a heart for youth and I still have a heart for these things. But what's funny is at the same time that I spend most of my life pouring into this age demographic, there are 34 grandkids in our family.
Mm.
And I have a lot of nieces and nephews who are in the teen years now and now even in the college years. And I was like, have I been as faithful with them? Mm. And so really when you were even reading this, like one of the asking this question, I'm like, one of the things I really want to do a better time job doing is one, really loving my mom well, because she has lost her partner for life for 55 years and just somebody who just craves fellowship and just somebody to talk about the word with and those things. Mm. And like, how can I do a better job of loving her well in this space? But then also, I don't want to later down the years have nieces and nephews who are like, yeah, our aunt was so great at pouring into young people. We just didn't get to see her a lot because she was pouring into others. Like, I want to pour into my teenagers. Mm-hmm. I want to pour into these cool people that God has put in my life that I get to be like the most amazing aunt ever. Like, I don't want them just to be like, she was fun. I want them to be like, man, she really helped me chase Jesus. And so those are two that I'm like, I know some of them are navigating some hard things, and the middle school and high school years and even college are rough and what they're being exposed to. Like, how can I be somebody who like really is walking through the difficult things with them and loving them well? And so those are really my mama. And then these cool nieces and nephews God has put in my life.
That's beautiful. I love that. I'm excited to see how God's going to continue to bless that over the next year and beyond. For me, mine is going to be family as well. So we, my family is just, we've been through a lot, both like my immediate family, then my broader family. And so it's been a time of just strain with my parents and their marriage. But naturally, as you grow up and as time passes, relationship and dynamics are going to shift, right? Mm-hmm. With your parents, with siblings, all those types of things. And so that's normal. And then when you have different events happen, then it can even speed up things more. And so I've noticed there's just needed to be a mutual compassion within all the dynamics within our family. And so having good conversations with my brothers and with my sister and my mom and my dad and I are getting lunch tomorrow. And so I'm excited to see how God's gonna work through this situation as I'm moving towards compassion with them, but also as they're moving towards as well, because my family are all believers. And so there is that desire for all of us to show compassion, grace, and move towards each other. And so I'm expectant that God's going to continue to honor that and just continue to have a sweet next season for our family.
That's awesome.
One thing I just want to add, I loved your guys' answers. I just think there's a tendency for us to hear a story like Jesus, who is the picture perfect of going towards someone and knowing exactly what to do.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the highlight reel of our life starts playing about all the times where like we didn't go towards someone.
Sure.
We said something wrong. Sure. And like, I don't want people to walk away with this trying to critique like what they're doing in their past. We all can look in our past and we all could find stuff that we knew better, but this is about moving forward. This is about going, okay, in the situations that come, how do I trust in who Jesus is by moving forward to someone? And so I just want to make sure people who are listening to this feel free to not go, oh man, I haven't lived up to
Even if we have that moment looking back, one, we don't know how God was working and redeeming through the things. We're like, that's not what I would have wanted. That's not how I think it should have happened. Like, we don't know how God is redeeming, working all that. And also God, I mean, this in those times in my life is when I have learned and grown the most. Mm. That then helps prepare me to be more like him for the next season that comes. So I totally agree. I'm really glad you said that, Brian. Okay, any final thoughts you guys have before we wrap up for today?
This message still like kind of goes back to a couple weeks ago where sometimes that just extending compassion to someone is in those interrupted times where you're doing your thing and then there's this moment that you can do this because something's off or you hear about something happening with a neighbor or there's something like with a coworker or whatever. And so I think this is just one more time for us in the little ways to practice extending that same compassion that God is extending to us. But then the other thing I just... after hearing Brian's talking through what this is going to be, what the message is this weekend, like my heart keeps thinking like, man, I want to be more in tuned to, wow, was that really just God extending his compassion right now and not just going through the everyday moments? Like we will have a more, I'm just wanting to be more fostering and how can I help foster more of an attitude of gratitude where I'm literally constantly being like, oh, wow, Lord, you giving me a space right now to pause and the peace to pause, that is your compassion. Mm. Or Lord, you allowing me to have this conversation with somebody whose now father's walking through cancer and I didn't even think about, oh, wow, yeah, I have just been through that. That is you extending your compassion to me by even allowing me to heal sometimes and to, as we navigate things that we've walked through. Like, so just the little moments of, hey, you just allowed me to have a sweet conversation or an opportunity to do this. Like, that is his compassion to us. And there are things to be learned in each of those little moments when we have something interrupt our schedule or our routine. So,
absolutely. Amy, would you pray for our church family?
I would love to do that. God, I just lift up those who are listening, but God, I lift up each and every one of the men, women, and children that you have here at Fellowship. And God, it is our heart that each day we would look more and more like you, that we would become less of our own flesh and self, and that we would just be people who radiate your love, your grace, and joy and peace to the world around us. Lord, would we have the hope and show the hope, extend that hope to others that we know that comes through just how powerful you are and that sin and death has nothing that can touch us because of you, Jesus Christ. And so, God, I pray that even as people are listening to this podcast, as they walk away from the message, that sweet conversations would happen, Lord, of just how they have seen your compassion in their own lives, how they feel you moving towards them. But then also, Lord, how can we extend that hope and that compassion to others who we know we live in a world and we are surrounded by people, even if it's in our families or our coworkers, that desperately need that reminder of who you are and the hope of what you have done. So we love you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Fellowship family, for being a part of this episode of the Deeper Podcast. We will see you next time.